Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I remember at 15 Googling how to mute just the girl during porn.
Like mute just her voice?
Yeah, because I was like, I don't want to hear your screaming.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I'm Eric Williams, and hooly canoody, is this universe feeling fooked? Oop. I mean, there's so much going on, but I think the headline is that the White Lotus is coming back for season two with a different cast in a different location. It's like, hello, how many White Lodi are there? If they don't bring Jennifer Coolidge back, let's just say I'm going to buy a whole lot more gravity blankets, and let's just say I might not wake up in the morning. That's dark. Speaking of dark, I did want to give an update with the segment I have previously called Me, Myself, and SSRI. However, let's punch it up with a little intro music.
Me, Myself, and SSRI.
Are you gagged? I feel like it's a Lady Gaga song. The SSRI update of it all is that I am officially off of Zoli. I am on Lexi, our girl Lexi. But I'm only been on Lexapro for a couple weeks, and so I have an appointment this coming Thursday, so tomorrow, and I'm actually feeling like this is going to work. I'm not like feeling totally different, but I just, from what I've heard and from what I feel in my gut, once I go up on a dosage starting this week, I'm going to start to feel a difference. And I'm only on 10 millis right now. So come on, Lexi, do your thing, girl. But speaking of doing your thing, ooh, do we have one of my favorite guests of all time on? We do. And does he deliver? He does. It is Fat Carrie Bradshaw, Chris Burns, you might know him by. He is undoubtedly one of my favorite people on the internet. An incredible follow. You've probably seen his videos for Betches. But if you don't follow him, it's Fat Carrie Bradshaw. We talk about so many incredible things in this episode that I didn't realize I could feel so seen by. Like some of the things, I'm sure you heard in that teaser about a little porn moment. Some, you know, little teaser, spoiler, there are some sexual comparisons from growing up that really are eye-opening. And I will also say that another teaser is that the first official bonus episode for the Patreon is going to be up in the next week. It's called This Week's Fight with Matthew, my dear husband. So we've realized that why keep it to one fight when we can cover a few fights in one episode? Because God knows there are a few to choose from. Because listen, we've got a lot of big life changes happening right now. And that's another plug to join the Patreon, because I'm going to be giving some exclusive updates and funny moments that I feel more comfortable telling a smaller group of people. So, of course, that link is in the show notes. But my friends, listen up. Happy you're here. Tell a friend if you like this episode. And here's Chris Burns, Fat Carrie Bradshaw. I know you know this because probably every person says they've been following you for years, but I've been following you for years, and the fact that you are here is kind of a big deal for me.
Oh my God, thank you so much. That's so nice. I'm such a piece of trash. So when I hear things like that, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to disappoint you in the next hour.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that you can't and you haven't and you won't, because I got to record, obviously, our friend Remy Casimir's How Come podcast with you. And that was kind of like, when she told me that you were going to be on the episode too, I was like, oh shit, this is the big leagues.
Oh my God, thank you so much. I was a kismet. I think we had a great gay conversation over there.
I really agree with you on that. I really do. I was actually, just before you logged into this, I was looking on my phone. Did you see the Adam Driver picture for Burberry?
Okay, I think I saw it in somebody's Instagram story. Hold up your phone.
I'm going to hold up my phone. Okay, wait, just he is literally shirtless on a horse.
Oh my God, I have to go. I have to go buy Burberry right now.
And by Burberry, you mean silicone lube. I mean, it's
what
just like...
What is that?
He looks like, and here's the thing, I'm not like every day like, Adam Driver. But like in this moment, I'm like, Adam Driver. Like, look at that.
No, I'm very much someone that's like Adam Driver. But then if Adam Driver and I were in the same room, I would be like, I've always been such a huge fan of yours. And if you ever want to test your boundaries,
I mean, honestly,
to do that.
He's such a serious actor. I'm sure that he would probably love to like see how bisexuality felt for either
right?
character
I was gonna
or just
say,
the experience.
I feel like if he didn't, I would be like, you're kind of a fraud, like in your acting.
And then he'd be like, you're right. That was him playing Batman.
That he's gay Batman.
Oh my God. I mean, just like the pecs, the, and that's the thing is like, I don't day to day be like, I want a guy with pecs and abs. But when you see it in this gorgeous Burberry lighting with his long hair and is like, you're just like, yeah, that you're a Greek god.
He's like the new Fabio.
Yeah, he's Fabio, but like if Fabio was like not Fabio.
Right. But like to what our parents, like Fabio was to our parents. This photo of Adam Driver, that's what I'm being served. And it's, I agree, where I'm like, oh my God, I would never list my type as a man who rides a horse shirtless on a beach. But if one were to present itself, I think that would become my type very quickly.
Oh yeah, my new type is, as of this moment, a Burberry ad. Are you like a camp girl? Have you gone horseback riding before?
I'm actually like a big camp girl. I have gone horseback riding. I really love like the woods to this day, surprisingly. But I haven't gone horseback riding in a bit.
I mean, honestly, it scares me now as I'm an adult because I've seen enough Real Housewives episodes where people get bucked off those horses and camels that I don't know. I don't want that truth.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if I go out by horse, wouldn't that be the gag?
Wait.
He went out doing what he tried a few times, riding a horse.
What he tried a few times. I mean, I always say, like, the way I'm going to die is by, like, checking someone out while I'm crossing a street. Like, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, it's going to be something stupid. I feel like it's going to be something embarrassing. Or I tried dabbing weed for the first time.
Oh, I thought you meant like the dance move. What's dabbing weed?
It's like, okay, so it's like wax, I guess. And then you have to like heat up the weed pipe and then it like hits this thing. And I had never done it. I'm a big weed guy, okay? So like I was like, I have to try this. It was at a bachelorette party, so I was like, I can't not do this. But the second I did it, my life flashed before my eyes. I don't know what it like hit my throat, and I ran into the bathroom, and like, this is very graphic, but I like threw up, and then my throat closed, and I literally was like for like probably 30 like 10 seconds, but it felt like forever as my life is flashing, and I'm like, in the moment, decided I'm going to die in this bathroom before I go out and reveal what has happened and have to like go to the emergency room for dabbing at a bachelorette party. And
oh my God, can you imagine dying at a bachelorette party?
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that part of it. But honestly, that is probably how I will go out, is at a bachelorette party.
He died doing what he loved.
Listen, I've been in 13 weddings, so this is like my regular.
Wait, that romantic comedy has already been written, but also let's get the Chris Burns version.
Listen, I'm saying, because I've never got to wear 27 dresses, I'll tell you that much.
Hello. Wait, I do need to go back to the weed of it all, because listen up, I have had a journey myself with like thinking I was going to die. And the long story short is that when I was like the first job I ever had, like acting job I had, I was doing a tour of a children's musical. And for some reason we were like, you know what, in this next city, why don't we all eat weed brownies? And I was like,
oh
yeah. And you know what? I'm going to be the one to make them. Chris, never made a weed brownie, never even purchased weed on my own. I'd always just like smoked friends. And so I end up figuring out through a roommate that he had someone. So I got it through him. I Googled how to make it. I made it myself.
Lengthy process.
It really is. Putting it into the butter or the oil. And then just like, and also when I was doing it, I was like, I was convinced I burned it. I was convinced it wasn't going to work. And so what ended up happening is we eat the brownies at like 8 p.m. And our first mistake is we didn't cut into squares or anything. We just like took a fork and went to town because they were yummy brownies, incidentally. Next thing we know, it's been probably an hour. And we're like, fuck, we don't feel anything. And in my mind, I'm like, I ruined this whole experience. They're not going to work. So we did the next mistake, which many people have done, which we, again, without cutting squares, took our forks, went to town again on eating more brownies from this tray. And without getting into too much detail, we turned the OC on. And as we're hearing, California, here we come. I look behind me and one of my friends is fully green.
No.
And sitting with her hands wrapped around like her knees up to her chest. And someone's like, are you OK? And she's like, this isn't good. And then someone's like, you look like Elphaba. She then goes,
what a compliment, though.
I mean, she was like, I wish I had the range, but she has a gorgeous voice.
That would have been iconic if she had made that joke in that moment.
While she's completely like about to pass out. So she ends up going, she's throwing up by the toilet the entire rest of the night. And then while this does sound dramatic, I promise you I'm not over exaggerating. We start to feel so high that we feel sick and our bodies start to convulse. Like we start like having twitches in our bodies. And what ended up happening is the people thought I maybe laced the brownies. They were like, in their paranoia from feeling insane, they were like, what did you put in these? I was like, I promise it's just weed. And we end up, I fall asleep sharing the room with Elphaba, and every hour I would just look and go, are you okay? And she'd be like, because I thought she was dead. And I was high for about 28 hours.
Wow, you must have put a lot of weed in those brownies.
I think I put a lot in and ate a lot.
Yeah, that's, like 5 or 6 years ago, I had a similar experience of eating a full cookie that had a skull and crossbones stamped into it, too. And I ate the whole thing, and then I was like, I'm not feeling anything. And then I had another. And then I was sitting on a patio in Brooklyn talking to this girl, but she was talking so much. And in my head, she wasn't talking to me. I thought she was talking to, like, the party around me. And I turned to my left and I was like, who is this bitch talking to? And then she like got up and stormed out. And I realized there was no one else on the patio. And it was just her and I. And
wait, then, I'm picturing you just like talking to air next to you. Who's this
literally
bitch talking to? And she's like, Chris.
Yeah, she was very upset. And like then I was like, I should probably go. It's so late. And I got an Uber home. And all I remember is that I left my apartment for the party at 7:30. And I was like laying down in bed. And I was like, it must be so late. And I looked at my phone and it was like 10:17. And I was like, wow, I was there for literally just enough time to get really high, offend someone and leave.
Wow. Well, you know what? She only needs an hour to get fully
high enough to drive a woman insane
to tears. But listen, it's very relatable because I think I told the story once with Jay Cohen, but what ended up happening on my bachelor party actually is we had cookies that we didn't know how strong they would be, and I was very much affected. And at this restaurant, I like put my face into a plate of pasta. I was like about to pass out from the cookie, and I was carried out by a couple people. And as they were calling the Uber, I said, oh my god, what time is it? Because again, I thought it was 11, 12.
Yeah.
It was 8:07.
See, and then the next day, you're still high probably. Because I'm always like, in that moment, I'm like, oh, I'm going to sleep so good. And I do. But then the next day, I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll cancel the weekend.
Well, I guess I'm booked till Tuesday. I mean, truly, I actually didn't, after the on tour brownie moment, I didn't smoke for a solid 2 or 3 years. I said I was done. I was like, I actually have no desire to do this. And then I eased myself back into it. And now, like, especially in the pandemic world, I really need that. I need that support.
Same. I mean, I didn't do it like all through college and stuff. I was a late bloomer, so it didn't start until I was like 22. And then when you start something at 22, like, it's a commitment. So here we are 9 years later.
Before we move on to another topic, I just need to know, do you prefer like an oil pen? Do you prefer like the flower? Do you prefer an edible? What's your jam?
I prefer flower, I guess, if I had to choose one for the rest of time, or an edible. The pen is great, but it makes me feel like, I don't know how to explain it, kind of like only high in my top of my brain.
Interesting. And not the rest of your body.
Which is weird. And then like flower makes me feel just like nice. And then an edible makes me feel like I'm melted into the couch, like those anti-weed commercials used to be. And I'm like, I am that girl, only fatter.
You're like, goals, bitch. Oh my God. Well, I want to say that I was looking at your Twitter, and you said, like, clearly I'm 31 when these are my Google searches. And I just want to read off your searches because it's quite a collection. You have energy drinks that feel the most like Adderall, how to start a company with bad credit, how to start a company with bad credit and no money, how to start a company, gay population, Fairbanks, Alaska, what happens in a sensory deprivation tank and deprivation chambers of NYC. Chris, you doing okay, babe?
Do you know what I found? I found that the deprivation chambers in NYC are like $90. They don't really explain what happens in there. So I didn't get an answer to that. I posted this on Insta and it just started a fight in the comments over where the gay population lives in Alaska, whether it's Fairbanks or Anchorage. And then, so I don't have an answer on that either.
So you pissed off the gays of Alaska?
And I haven't started a company. So, you know, I'm still Googling. I feel like I've pissed off the gays in Alaska a couple of times before. I have like an odd obsession with Alaska. It's like my dream destination. I watch anything that has to do with Alaska. But whenever I've posted anything that says something about being gay in Alaska, I either get people being like, there's tons of gay people here, or I get people being like, there's no gay people here. Don't come here. You'll hate it.
Have you been before?
I've never been. No.
So it's definitely a fantasy that we hope comes true.
Yes, I really do. I don't know why. I just always have. I really want to see like a moose in real life.
Listen, you're an outdoorsy gal. You want to meet like a really cute Alaskan that has like a soft parka you can cuddle up against by a fire. You want to see him in broad daylight for 23 hours a day. And you maybe are going to go fishing into a hole that you put into a little ice lake. Yeah.
So who knows? You know, I'll either go out crashing through the ice in Alaska or at a bachelorette party bathroom. So really spinning the wheel.
What about the company you want to start? Are you comfortable saying maybe what that type of company would be, or is it all under wraps?
Well, it wasn't so much that I have a company idea. I was watching The Real Housewives of Potomac, and Wendy is starting a candle company.
Right.
And so then I was like, if Wendy can randomly start a company, I bet with $20,000, I guess I could maybe figure out how to start a makeup company. And so then that's where it came from, and that's why I was Googling it. But it already seems like too much.
But listen, I really can see this for you. I mean, even if it's not today or tomorrow or in a month, like, I bet you would have an amazing makeup line.
Oh, thank you. I hope. The thing is, I also, with Wendy talking, are you familiar with Potomac Housewives?
Oh, absolutely.
Wendy talking about how she wants to start a candle company. I feel like unless you're like Yankee Candle or something like that, it's kind of not worth it. So while I would also like to start a candle company as well as a makeup company, they're both on the back burner for now.
I get that. But listen, like, if you were to come out with a makeup line, it would not be the craziest thing. I think the fact, like, when Trixie Mattel was doing, like, okay, a country album, okay, a makeup line, a lot of the time I was like, huh. And it wasn't that I was doubting her. I was just kind of like, where is this all gonna go? And then it looks like Trixie's doing pretty okay.
Yeah, that's fair. It's very like Lisa Rinna. That's what I'm like. I'll take any opportunity that comes my way. And
what are Lisa Rinna's the things to call that she sells on QVC? Like the dusters. She loves a duster.
Yes, the dusters, and then like the she has like a sweater thing too.
Right. But listen, I have to say, like, with all the starting of the businesses, like Wendy, will her candles do well? Will Robin's hats do okay? It's really anyone's guess.
I mean, Robin in the most recent episode was like, the hat company has popped off, but I can't get out of bed to pack the things. And I was like, if I was somebody waiting on my hat, I would be like, Robin, get out of bed and send me my hat.
Where's my camo hat?
Where's my camouflage hat that you cut the picture of Karen from?
What a shady. I mean, listen, Karen to me is everything. And everything. I'm no matter what she does, I'm on her team. And the thing is, like, I really could talk about Potomac. Like, the fact, like, do you think Ashley and Michael Darby are actually A, okay, or B, like, going to stay together for another minute?
I think that, especially in this season, there seems to be less tension. I feel like there's been an agreement made that's like, okay, go fuck your boys.
Are you talking about Michael going fucking his boys?
I think Michael's fucking his boys.
Yeah.
And I think Ashley's fucking whoever she wants as well. Or she's just like tired and
right,
being a mom and working and stuff. But I can't imagine they'll stay together for very long. No. She re-signed that prenup, so I'm like, she's got like 4 more years.
Oh, right. Yes.
Because remember,
get the maximum reward.
Yeah, and she re-signed or re-upped the prenup to make him feel better.
Right.
We'll see.
But see, this is what I find so interesting about all these shows is like how like you watch someone have a product and you're like, oh, what would mine be? Like when I watch Shark Tank, I'm always like, what? Oh, you know what? I bet I could do a great pitch. What am I pitching? I have no fucking idea. But there's also, have you been watching on Netflix that show, the reality show about Orthodox Jews?
No, I haven't. I didn't realize it was a reality show.
Yeah, I think it's called My Unorthodox Life.
It is. I thought it was
like a docuseries.
Scripted. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, or scripted? No, so it's fully reality TV. And the long story short, the reason I bring it up is because the matriarch of this family was a very Orthodox Jewish woman that wore a wig, all that, the whole nine. And then she ended up at like 40 leaving the community and just being like, you know what? I love fashion. And she started a shoe line. And within a year, it was in, she said, like 7 countries. And then like not long after that, she became the head of Elite Models, I believe, like the biggest modeling. They oversee so many agencies. And I was like, okay, I understand that like you are a powerhouse, but how the hell does one do that?
Yeah. Is she still Orthodox?
No, she's like left the life behind. And what's really cuckoo bananas is that she has like 4 children, and the oldest one is really struggling because she was in that community for the longest. Mm. And there's even a plot point like the first episode that she puts jeans on, and her husband is like, it's tough for him to see that because in their upbringing, women are not allowed to wear pants, and it's a struggle for him. And I've seen a lot of polarizing views about how people in that community feel. Like I'm Jewish and I'm definitely not Orthodox in any way. I grew up conservative, so like middle ground, and like I was kosher and I was bar mitzvahed and I still celebrate the holidays, but I'm definitely, I just love brisket, you know, like I'm like that kind of Jew now. But she makes a point, the mom of this family, that I really agree with, is that fundamentalism in any religion, whether it's Judaism, Catholicism, you know, whatever it is, it can be very dangerous. And it's tough to see people of your own religion like making women feel like treat them like second class citizens. And I don't know why we're getting into a religious talk, but it just, I took us there, Chris.
No, I get it. I was raised Catholic, but we're not very religious anymore. Like when I was like 15, we just kind of stopped. They closed the church in our town. There was like, it's a smaller town, and there was like 22 Catholic churches, and they were like, this is insane because there's like 20 people at each one. So they closed down like all but 2, including ours. And then we kind of just like stopped going, and my dad was like, this is stupid. We're over it.
I bet a lot of people did that. I bet a lot of people stopped going to church in your town then.
Oh, yeah. It was. I mean, I think so. But I think they kind of already were starting to stop. And that's why the whole thing kind of crumbled. Mm. But listen, I love brisket. I've been to many a Seder. I really live for the
brisket. Oh, a true ally. Yeah, there is nothing like a good Seder if you have prop work, if you're giving story, if you're giving matzo ball soup, if you're, I mean, that's the reason why I want my kids to have that delicious food too. And so I think I want to be like, this is the religious part, like you should know about, but like, let's all take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, fair. I think that's also a very, housewife thing where they'll be like, well, God will guide me, you fucking dumbass bitch. And it like
well, that's like on Below Deck right now where Lexi, like the villain. Are you watching Below Deck?
I'm not actually.
Oh my, Chris, it is fully bonkers. The long story short is she acts like really unhinged, and then she's talking to her mom about quitting, and her mom's like, don't quit, you know, what will God say? And then she's like, he won't be happy, but he forgives. And then she's like, goes on to be a like heinous bitch.
He forgives. I love.
She's like, that's what confession's for.
I love that her mom thinks that God cares if she quits her job
on a yacht.
On a yacht on a reality television show.
What will God say if you break your Bravo contract off this Croatian cruise?
Like, honestly, though, God probably is involved in those contracts. Who even knows?
I mean, God, Andy Cohen, same thing.
Amen. I'm dead.
I do also want to bring up that, you know, speaking of like super yachts, one of your tweets was, they say money can't buy you happiness, but I've never seen anyone crying as they board first class.
I mean, I flew to Vegas and it was like 5 hours delayed, and that's where that tweet came from. And it was the worst. And you know when you have to walk through and then you can like look at first class?
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's just so, I've never flown first class. I imagine it to be just like, if I was in first class and the plane started going down, I'd be fine. I'd be like, honestly, we'll probably survive. I don't know about the poor people in the back.
He died as he lived in first class.
Amen. Put it on my tombstone.
But like, truly, that feeling when you walk through first class and you see everyone like basically leaning back in their king size bed and they're being like, they're like flight attendants sucking their toes and telling them how gorgeous they are. I'm like, how much does this cost?
According to the internet, a lot, but I think it's a lot of free upgrades, as I understand it. Oh. It's like a lot of like heavy flyers that get upgraded to first class. Because I'm like, are people literally buying 4,000 tickets to fly from New York to Las Vegas? Because right. That is fucking insane.
Well, listen, something to aspire to is we have enough miles or money to get into those chairs and die rich.
Amen.
From our mouths to Delta's ears.
Delta economy ears.
So you actually, there was another thing that was around this, speaking of having money, these people that are always going for their Botox treatments. I actually, your tweet brought up a conversation with Matt where he actually revealed that he found a deal for Botox and he wants to get in on it. And I had to be like, you don't need this. And it actually turned into a bit of a fight. And I actually think that might be the first bonus episode I do for our Patreon, which is this week's fight between me and Matt about him getting Botox, because I don't think he needs it.
Here's my stance on it. I have this one like line when my forehead scrunches here, and the only reason is because when I do my makeup, it cracks. Oh. And it makes me fucking crazy because it'll like look so good, and then all of a sudden I have this like fault line across my forehead. So I was like, maybe I'll do a little bit here. But the reality also, my friend who is the one that said that I have been needing Botox, she's a nurse and like may or may not have some Botox in her freezer. So she like will give it to herself when she needs it every now and then. So I was like, okay, I'm ready to get some Botox. And I said, just here. And she was like, well, if we do here, you also will have to get like some between your eyebrows because it like sinks your forehead. So then you have to get it like in your eyebrows to like lift it back up. So that also made me a little bit nervous. So we'll see. I haven't done it yet. I'm also nervous about not sweating out of my face anymore. Where is it going to come out of? Do you know what I mean?
Chris, where do you think it'll come out of?
I have no idea. I have a friend who got her armpits lasered so she could stop sweating, and then her butt just sweat like a fucking mad person. And I was like, that's my worst nightmare.
I mean, listen, I guess it kind of makes sense. If you plug one hole, like, it has no choice but to go out a different orifice. I mean, can you imagine? You're just like what if, like, your urethra is just full of sweat?
That's, like, who knows where it comes out of.
Ay. But listen, Botox is a tough... I get it, because I know that it's temporary. And Matt, you literally were quoting Matt, because he was saying there's just these two lines by his eyebrows that he doesn't like. And I was like, you could not be more beautiful and in less need of this. And he's like, it's preventative. I was like, I see that. People say that, but we have a friend who has really, really horrible migraines and, like, has tried everything, and the doctor actually said that the Botox would be something to try. So she tried it, and we had dinner with her like 2 days later, and she said to us, she was like, it's helping my migraines and I'm really excited, and like, look, I can still move my forehead. And then she proceeds to do this, which is her just making a face where nothing moved, and we were like, and we start to smile. She's like, what's going on? I was like, girly, your face is frozen. I mean, like, she could not move a brow.
Yeah, that's also my fear, because sometimes you'll notice Lady Gaga will, like, be talking, and the only place you can see moving is, like, her
hairline,
like, way back here.
I do and notice that. Is that from Botox?
Yeah, it's because it's all Botox, so it's, like, only moving where she hasn't gotten Botox. So we'll see, because, you know, she's a I have big expressions. I don't want to ruin anything.
Hello, that's what pays the bill.
But we'll see. My parents are also like, I could never tell them. They would think it was the most insane thing in the world. Like, once I mentioned Botox, and my mom was like, oh, that was like what your grandfather got in his back when he was dying, because it like helped his like muscle pain. And I was like, yeah, but I just want like a little bit, like give me forehead.
You know, this is different, mom. It's not different than Gramps.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see.
Wow. Well, much to consider with the Botox of it all, but I do want to go into the famous podcast question. Chris Burns, Fat Cat Bradshaw. I want to ask you, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame?
So I'm going to blame two people. The first is, do you remember the episode of Family Matters that had Donna Summer guest star? I would assume not, because no one ever has before.
I don't, but I did watch that show, and I love that show, but I don't remember the Donna Summer guest appearance.
So this episode came out in 1994, and I only know that because, like, you can YouTube the exact clip that I'm talking about, and I've watched it so many times. But she comes in, and she's supposed to be Steve Urkel's cousin, Una from Altoona, and they call her Cousin Una from Altoona. And it's the episode where the police precinct that Carl works at needs money or something, and so they're having a karaoke contest. But it's like a full out show. And Cousin Una from Altoona is supposed to be like this really nerdy, like, loser. Like, even Steve Urkel is like, she's such a loser. And everyone else is like, I can't believe there's two Steve Urkels. And then it comes time for her to perform. And she, like, switches from loser to Donna Summer singing Last Dance. And it's, like, just so iconic. And everyone's like, you know, It's Donna Summer. And this was in 94. So she was like past her, you know, height of fame. But everyone, it would be like a Paula Abdul thing, I feel like now. Like when Paula Abdul guest stars on a show. But if she was like someone's geeky cousin and then she won a dance contest.
And you'd be like, what is Paula Abdul doing here? And then she starts dancing. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly. But I didn't know who Donna Summer was. But then I like found out her name. And then I walked to Kmart to find a Donna Summer CD, and I was like 11, and I remember asking them if they had a Donna Summer CD, and he said, no, but we have Jessica Simpson. And I was like, okay. and I got Jessica Simpson.
That'll get the job done. I mean, there's so many questions here. Like, was Donna Summer in like geek drag? Like, does she look like Urkel?
Yes. And they have it. Well, they basically, she had like big Coke bottle glasses and they made her like walk hunched around and she had to talk like this the whole time. And then when she starts singing, she starts like, am I even worth half a dance? To know. And then like switches in the middle of it. And then, you know, it's just such a good episode. And then also, this is another random reference, but do you remember the show on VH1? It was like a reality show called The Surreal Life, I believe.
Of course, with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie?
Not The Simple Life.
Oh, fuck.
The Surreal, I think it was called The Surreal Life. It was basically like Big Brother Celebrity before Big Brother Celebrity.
Okay, The Surreal Life sounds so, I need to get a visual.
It's like what Omarosa was on.
Oh, yeah. I did watch this.
Like, that was, I think, when Janice Dickinson threatened Omarosa with a knife. That was on The Surreal Life.
Oh, my God. I haven't thought about this show in so long.
And, like, the mini-me from Austin Powers was on it.
Vern Troyer. And then there's also that porn star, that gross straight guy porn star.
Oh, yes. And then Flavor Flav and what's her name? Brigitte Nielsen.
Right.
They had like several seasons, but there was one season with Marcus Schenkenberg, who's like a male model and like, or was a, like, he was like the male Janice Dickinson.
Sure.
And him and Janice Dickinson actually used to date, I think, and so did him and Pamela Anderson. But anyway, he was really hot, and I looked up pictures of him when I was like 14 or 15, and then there was pictures of him standing under a waterfall with like just covering his package with his hands. And the number of times I would sneak down in the middle of the night and Google that picture.
Oh my God. I mean, you're like bringing me back to like those devastating moments when you see these insanely hot guys and you're deep in the closet and you know that it's like in your mind not a great place to be gay, not a great world to be gay, but your feelings are so intense. Like for me, while I know in today's world Justin Timberlake is not like the guy we want to be with, but his cover of either Rolling Stone or he's shirtless and he's very like bronzed and tan and you can see like the light blonde hair going down his happy trail and like his cum gutter lines. I would stare at it for hours.
Yeah. No, there was definitely, I feel like I kind of had a crush on Jerry Seinfeld. I know. Which is not, I mean, actually knowing myself now, it's not that weird that I did that.
Okay, wait, unpack it. What about Jerry?
I like a like nebbish, neurotic kind of vibe.
Oh, so you really do like brisket.
I really do like brisket. but like at the time, you know, I'm like, Elaine is so fierce and Jerry's like hot and then... I didn't come out until I was 21. So like it was a journey. I remember at 15 Googling how to mute just the girl during porn.
Wait, like mute just her voice?
Yeah. Cause I was like, I don't want to hear your screaming. I just want to hear like the grunt. Yeah. And I remember like looking it up and I'm like, I guess she can't do it. It was so disappointing.
You're like, the technology is so behind.
Because I was mean, like, I'm not gay. I'm not going to watch gay porn.
Whoa, this is so funny. Okay, I know people listening to this have the same experience because what I would do, I don't think I've told anyone this, is that I would go to a website that I doubt exists anymore. It was called jackinworld.com.
I have been on it.
It's so embarrassing. It's literally techniques of how to masturbate. And I was like, I am not gay. Listen, everyone in this room, I'm not gay. I'm learning how to jack off. I'm learning what other guys do. And then from there, I would watch videos of guys jacking off because I was learning their techniques. And
wait,
then
that's
I was like,
literally, yeah. I remember Jack and World has like stories. They have like testimonials of people like telling their jack off stories. And I would read them and I would be like, it's not gay. It's words.
It's not gay, it's words.
It's like, you know, Call Me By Your Name is a straight book. It's a book.
It's a book. It's just words. Oh my God. I mean, listen, I would read from there. I would go to nifty.org. Did you ever go to that website?
I don't think I have ever made it to Nifty.
Okay. So Nifty has like full on erotica. And I, at this point, was in full denial that I was just actively pursuing gay erotica and porn. But I was like, no, I'm just like watching these two guys jack off together. No. I'm just watching like how they masturbate with that guy's asshole. I was like literally just like doing whatever I could to suspend my
oh disbelief. Totally.
But the erotica was like really a lot of big fantasies that I would have that you would just be reading about, and I just could not stop myself from poring over jackandworld.com. Nifty.
I wonder if Jack and World still exists. That really got me through some times.
I'm like too afraid to look because if it doesn't, I'm gonna be sad, but also if it does, I'm gonna be embarrassed. So I don't think it's a win in any scenario.
I know. Watch it be like they sold the address to something else or something, because it was not a good website. It looked like a Google, like somebody pulled up a Google Doc,
like a WordPress someone made in 2 minutes. I mean, yeah, it really wasn't well run, but it did provide such a service to me, and I do want to publicly thank Jack and World because
honestly,
listen,
same. Thank you, Jack and World.
I remember. Oh yeah, I don't know if I should. I mean, this is really disgusting and graphic.
Do it.
There was a technique on Jack. If you're in my family listening to this, just like skip ahead a minute.
I'm nervous about what you're going to say.
It's not that weird. I
think I know what you're going to say.
Oh my God. I want you to guess before I say it. What do you think it is?
Is it like putting lube in like a sandwich bag and then putting it in the couch?
So that would have been option B. I definitely remember that. This isn't that, but they definitely said to do that. And I remember the stuff about they would say put two pillows together.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't think that'll work.
No.
I never tried those. I would have been fucking murdered if anything happened to the couch.
I will not confirm nor deny anything, but I will say that there was one technique they said that was where you, instead of just jacking off, you put your hands together, like you clasp your hands together and then kind of create suction, and then you like fuck your own hands.
Honestly,
and I was like, do
I don't
people
remember
do this?
Reading that, but that's like a good tip.
And I'm sure the name was like Parisian Bridge or like something.
Yeah, like that was the knuckle fucker.
Wait, that sounds like a movie we should write.
The knuckle fucker. Yeah, it's like, oh my God. I can't believe that Jack and World was viewed by more than one person.
I cannot believe I brought it up and you're immediately just like, yep.
I was like, I haven't heard of that or thought of it in like 10
same.
I almost
you're
said
like
10 years
plastic
in
bag,
like 20
yep.
years.
They also said like you could fuck a zucchini or something. I was like, okay, these are going too far, but like cut to me being home alone and opening my fridge and being like, but like I was
oh
like,
yeah, and they had like melon, like you can fuck a melon, and I'm like,
yeah,
okay, where am I getting a melon? My mom needs that.
My mom's putting a gorgeous summer salad together. How are we gonna have our prosciutto? So much there. What a vulnerable moment for both of us.
I do want us to proceed into a question that I don't know you have the answer to, but I hope you do. What is happening with Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker? You're really good about updating us, and I just really think that it's not gonna end well.
You know, people are crazy. Let me be clear on this one, because nobody or very, very few of my following knows Kourtney Kardashian in real life. And by that, I mean probably like one person. So then when I post things about Kourtney and Travis, and I get an influx of people being like, why can't you just let them love? And I'm like, okay, they really do not care about me at all. They don't know that I exist. They don't know that you exist. So like, it doesn't matter.
And honestly, they might kind of like that you're talking about them.
I feel like Kourtney, listen, she's punk now. She likes people talking shit. It's the opposite of her family. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to go well. I think hanging out with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, like, I feel like Kourtney is the going to be like the bullied girl who, you remember in The Craft when they first tried to get that one girl to be a witch?
I've never seen The Craft. Don't be mad.
Oh my God. Well, there's like three girls who are witches and they're like, that loser, let's get her. And then she turns out to be a better witch than all of them. But that's kind of the vibe. I'm like, Megan Fox is going to like lure Courtney somewhere and then they're going to spray paint the school and get in trouble.
You're right. You're right. But it's going to happen with higher stakes because she's a full on adult person who has children.
And that's also the thing. Like, her kids are old enough to know what's going on and see videos of their mom sucking Travis Barker's thumb online.
Yeah, that's what makes me sad, is like, this is not the time, I think, for this. I love an experimentation, but like, that would be like me, like, in 5 years, all of a sudden, like, I don't know, putting on like a harness and then uploading videos to Twitter of me getting fucked in an alley.
But, and it's like, you can do that, just don't put up the videos. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
And also, like, and if I have three children, I definitely should not put up the videos.
Yeah. Who's waking up Mason to go to school, you know?
Oh my God, that is like the saddest image.
I mean, I'm sure there's however many nannies involved, but yeah, I just, it's so public. It's bizarre that it's public. And also, Kim and Travis had a thing before. So the fact that Courtney and him are so involved,
I forgot about that. That's even weirder. I mean, it's all so nuts, but it also makes me wonder, like obviously you have like a gorgeous big following and I assume it's only going to continue to get bigger, but let's say you reach like to really big levels of fame, do you have a vision of how you would feel? Like, would you be super private about someone you're dating? Would you be okay with like a little bit of press here and there? Like, what do you envision for your fame?
This is a funny question. I think that it would obviously depend on him, but like, I would not want to be with someone who wanted to be like public. And that's how my whole family is. Like, my brothers don't even and never have had like Facebook or anything. Like, they don't understand what I do at all.
They don't have Instagram?
No, they have like nothing like that. They don't even have like anything. They have like Google phones. Isn't that not insane?
I mean, that's kind of beautiful for them, but also like, what is it like for you? Like, how does it feel for you? And what do they say about what you do? Like, when you say I have all of this following, is it hard for them to understand that that's really tough to do? Or are they like, awesome?
I think they think it's like kind of neat, but like, they don't. And my parents also don't have anything. And so my mom now especially will be like, oh my God, my friends are texting that like this video, like send me the video. I can't watch it on the thing. And now she wants to make an Instagram and stuff. And I'm like, listen, you can follow me, but I don't want to hear anything about anything. Because also like, obviously my Instagram is a more intense, I'm not actually as crazy as I make myself seem.
Right.
So that works out. But like, I have a lot of cousins and stuff. So a lot of it gets, but, and my sister-in-law is on everything. So it gets around. But yeah, my brothers are like truck driving, you know, upstate loving people. So we're wow. Very different, but
it's so, I really relate to you because, you know, while my brothers are not, I think, as different, there's definitely like being in like the entertainment world that's like so removed. And like, I have this big thing happening that like, it really is just like an audition thing that like is a good opportunity that like, I now know when I tell them about it, I'm not going to get a, oh my God, wow. It's like, they're just like, oh, that's cool. And I know for them, they know that it's cool, but it's like
Yeah,
it's hard to translate certain things, but you know that the support is still there. But I think years ago, I used to be like, no one understands me.
I think, yes, I feel the kind of exact same way where I'm like, I could win an Oscar or I could fix the floors in my house and it would be given the same like, wow, like, cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I really have come to appreciate that it's like, so they really don't care about anything like that. But it's definitely interesting. Like my older brother, I had done an ad for Queer Eye, like an Instagram ad for the new Queer Eye when it first came back. And somehow my older brother misunderstood that as I was in the new Queer Eye. And so he texted me after watching like 4 full episodes of the new Queer Eye and was like, what episode are you in? I'm halfway through and I haven't seen you. And I was like, what? I'm not in fucking Queer Eye.
Wait, can you imagine like, your brother sitting through 4 episodes just like...
I literally am like, I can't imagine.
Well, in the movie version of it, he starts to cry and he loves the episode. And then he just like becomes fully obsessed with Queer Eye. And he's like, honestly, you know, Jonathan Van Ness, I know he's like a big personality, but he really is talented with those shears.
I think him and my sister-in-law ended up finishing the series and I didn't even watch all the episodes.
And here you are promoting it. I mean, look, that is such a gorgeous story. We love, we stand an ally. And that being said, I really did love the new Queer Eye.
Yeah, listen, it's very good.
Anthony, did you watch
so
We Are
hot.
Here on HBO?
I did. I really loved We're Here.
Oh my God. We Are Here. If anyone listening to this has not watched We Are Here on HBO, it's like Bob the Drag Queen,
it's
Eureka,
so
Shangela. They go to different small towns and they help LGBTQ people be embraced by their families and communities through a drag performance. And it's just so good.
It's so good. Every episode is like happy tears.
It
and
is.
And sad tears.
And healing, because it's like if you're living in a small town or from a small town or just queer in any way, it's like you kind of wish you had a fairy drag mother like these people did.
Yeah, I say start on the episode. I think it's each episode is like the name of the town. It's in New Mexico, and that one is like, I just love that one so much.
Oh, I'm gonna rewatch. And also, I like, full transparency, I am trying to get Bob the Drag Queen on the podcast, and his people said that he was filming the second season, but after that, hopefully. So like, that's exciting that hopefully it'll be done soon, it'll be out soon, and then hopefully I can talk to Bob about it here. So fingers crossed.
Listen, fingers crossed. Also, good look at Eureka on 2 TV shows at the same time, just really thriving.
Who knew? Who knew that Eureka was going to be a breakthrough? But like, listen, every time I see her, I'm like, I love you.
Yeah, she really, I also love her.
She knows the gig. She knows the gig.
Eureka, you found it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, and I just like, I aspire to have that just like loosey-goosey, like, I'm just going to be myself and just like say magic lines just because it's a Tuesday.
Yeah, literally.
Well, before we say goodbye, I have a very important question. Chris, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Oh, probably Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, wow. I really, really love this answer. And I actually don't think I've heard it yet. Can you name off some of your favorite Catherine O'Hara shows or moments?
Best in Show.
Yes.
Waiting for Guffman.
Absolutely.
Obviously Schitt's Creek.
Uh-huh.
Give me Home Alone 2.
100%. I think her performance in Home Alone, just like screaming that Kevin is gone. And then when I just have the vision of her at Rockefeller Center uniting with Kevin by that Christmas tree.
With her like beautiful red mom haircut.
Gorgeous red hair.
Oh, and in A Mighty Wind, I think she's just iconic.
Wait, A Mighty Wind, is that Mitch and Mickey?
Yes, she is.
Oh my God. I haven't thought about that in so long.
Waiting for Guffman, I think, is probably my favorite. When she's drunk at the
Chinese food restaurant,
and it's supposed to be that they're fucking real estate agents who have never left the town that they live in.
Yeah, they're travel agents that have never book trips for people, but they've never been out of the state. I mean, he's like, well, I went to Jeff City once for a surgery because it was penis reduction.
Because it was, his penis was too big. And then she's like, so waste. And she's like, what's it like being with a circumcised man?
And it's this like incredibly like conservative Jewish couple that's just like,
well, I would definitely, I think probably that I would have to go.
I think that's a brilliant answer. And I really, 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 really love it. Listen, before I officially stop the recording, Chris Burns, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film? I didn't prep you on this. I just need to have your answer.
Oh, God. Well, Sister Act 1, the original, I have to say. But, obviously, I love Sister Act 2, and I'm a big Color Purple fan. I've seen the movie many times. I've read the book. I have seen the musical several times. So listen, and also YouTube videos of her on The View fighting with Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh yeah, we
who
love
doesn't?
Whoopi shutting shit down, especially when Elizabeth Hasselbeck is the source of it. I also will tell you that the most I ever cried in a Broadway theater was seeing Cynthia Erivo in The Color Purple. I was like shoulder shake crying.
I was, yeah, like projectile tears were coming. When her and Jennifer Hudson were standing together, I'm like, Jennifer Hudson is like my... Like, I live for Jennifer Hudson.
Me and too.
So, I came for Jennifer, I stayed for Cynthia. But, like, listen, Aretha comes out in, like, 2 weeks, the movie.
You're right. Oh, my gosh. So much to look forward to. Aretha, Cynthia Erivo, I'm sure, will... They should make Cynthia Erivo's Color Purple musical into a movie. They're doing everything else as a movie musical.
They really should. Because I haven't watched the Aretha show that Cynthia is nominated for an Emmy... That was like on, I think, some random channel.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She was nominated for an Emmy. But also, if her and Jennifer Hudson had beef before, I can't imagine that they don't now.
Yeah, I mean, God, I hope not. I hope they're okay, but we can only assume they're not.
Listen, I get it. I hate any other fat, talented gay people. So if I was Jennifer Hudson and everyone was like, "Who the fuck is?" I would be like, "Who the fuck is this bitch?"
Well, listen, I am so happy you came on That's a Gay Ass podcast. And if you're do you have anything you want to plug before we stop recording?
You can follow me on Insta, Fat Carrie Bradshaw. Listen to my podcast Middle Children, and everything's there, fatcarriebradshaw.com.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I just could not be more obsessed with Fat Carrie Bradshaw, Chris Burns. Make sure you're following him at Fat Carrie Bradshaw and following me at Eric Wills, ERICWILLZ. And the podcast is at Gay Ass Podcast. There is a lot going on in this gay ass world, but I will say that if you haven't joined the Patreon yet, it really is so amazing. And if you have joined, holy shit, I'm so grateful to you. The fact that so many of you are already there, and I cannot wait to get that bonus episode up really in the next few days. The goal is by Friday or Monday at the latest. So again, so grateful for you that are all on this gay ass journey with me. And it's just been unbelievable. I love you all. Have a good rest of your week. And come on, we're getting through this. It is August. It's hot as hell. And you know what? You're hot as hell. Bye.